V-minus 26. Woodland, west of Archway, Colorado. Clark didn't have to hear what Jason was saying to the deplorable Jack Neal to know that he was sticking to the plan. He peeked out carefully over the dashboard and saw that both men were facing in the opposite direction. Jason held a thumb up behind his back, and Clark knew it was time. He grabbed some tape and bandages from a first aid kit in the glove box, then charged out of Jason's car. Not 1 ounce of stealth, and tactically cut off Jack's path to his own car. If the rat tried to run away on foot, Clark would catch him in no time. Foolishly, but inevitably, this was exactly what Jack tried to do. Jack lifted his phone from his pocket as he began to flee, but Jason proved which side he was on once and for all by diving at Jack and just managing to grab hold of him tightly enough to wrestle him to the ground. He wisely knocked the phone away before Jack was able to initiate a call or send a message, then delivered several full-hearted blows to his blackmailer's head. Jason wasn't trained to throw these blows, but Jack wasn't trained to receive them, so the effect of the wild punches was fairly significant. Clark walked over slowly, letting Jason get some frustration out. After around 5 seconds, he called him off and crouched over Jack's still conscious but greatly weakened body, gazing down at a bloodied face devoid of any resistance. He taped Jack's mouth to stifle any calls for help. "However much you hate him, you don't want to see this part," Clark whispered to Jason. He didn't have to say it twice. The next thing Jason heard was by far the most blood-curdling sound his ears had ever encountered. Curiosity got the better of him, and he turned around to see Jack quite literally writhing in agony with both hands grasping his right knee. Clark crouched down again and bound Jack's hands with a long bandage, then did the same with his feet. The stifled noises coming from behind the tape covering Jack's mouth sent chills down Jason's spine, but Clark appeared utterly unmoved as he picked the scoundrel up from the dirt and tossed him over one shoulder. His next stop was the back seat of Jason's car, and as soon as the doors were closed, Clark ripped the tape from Jack's mouth. "She's in a warehouse," the rat squealed as easily and pathetically as Clark had anticipated. "Address," Clark demanded. Right now, nothing else mattered. There would be time to interrogate Jack about his motives and his partners once Tara was safe. Jack hesitated, prompting Clark to slam a fist into his already shattered kneecap. In the driver's seat, Jason fought an urge to throw up at the piercing scream that escaped Jack's uncovered lips. Stuttering out the words, Jack gave an address that was no more than 10 minutes away. Clark wasted no time in giving Jason an order to set off, telling him not to worry about anything else. He immediately issued the same instruction to Phil Norris, who was silently and approvingly listening in on a still-live phone call. "Your two men," Clark said, wrapping a broad hand around Jack's pencil neck. "Get them gone. We know who you're working with, asshole. We know about the shell companies and the secret payments." Even through his agony, Jack's expression changed with this revelation. "Your game's over. I don't care who else goes down with you, but no one has to die today. And trust me, Jack." Clark trailed off, releasing his neck and balling a fist over his knee once again.
"Please, no, Clark, I'll call them. Please."
"I didn't come out here without backup. And I'm not going to this damn warehouse without backup either. So if you know what's good for them, you'll tell them to get the fuck out of there before we arrive." Clark boomed. "Like I told you, no one has to die today. But if anyone tries anything funny, if any of them are still there when my team rush in, or if they hurt a single hair on that girl's head before they leave, trust me on this. With what I'll have in store for you, you'll be begging for death." As Jason helpfully handed Clark the phone he'd knocked out of Jack's hand, Clark pressed his empty fist into Jack's knee firmly enough to make him wince. He asked for and received first the passcode and then the name of the contact in the warehouse, then whispered something in Jack's ear too quietly for Jason to hear. Whatever was said, it immediately widened Jack's eyes and caused his lips to quiver like a child on the wrong end of a lecture. Above and beyond the pain he had earned so far, the promise of something 1,000 times worse had clearly had the desired effect. For the second time in barely 20 minutes, Clark held his breath as a phone call transpired. Once again, the caller was under duress, his duress, and once again the stakes could hardly have been any higher. "No, no tricks. Jack said after giving the initial order. Listen to me, you fucking idiot. It's off. They're already onto the location. Leave Terra unharmed and don't waste any time clearing the setup because they already know. They know about the payments. If you stay there, you're dead. And if you hurt her, we're all dead. Just disappear. Clark exhaled deeply. Jack wasn't having to act in the same way Jason had, but he had at least been smart enough to stick to the script. Good, Jack said, and don't forget what I know. If you do anything to fuck me here... Clark could only shake his head. Jack, an asshole to the bitter end, was even holding something over his own goons. Never one to enjoy inflicting pain and never one to do so purely in anger, Clark took his hand away from Jack's knee. What happened to the rat next was a decision for later. All that mattered now was Terra.